The only possible thing that He has to work with is not your mind. He didn't come to save your mind. Your mind being renewed is a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus plainly said, that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. It's the place God comes to. So when He gets a chance, He relishes the opportunity to bypass all the workings of the flesh, the mind, and just hope that He can squeeze in something that'll help you relative to your journey. Hallelujah. It was amazing to me that what He offered as a witness of who you have become had nothing to do with the outside, like power. Now He said the signs would follow you. You could raise the dead and lay hands on the sick. That'd be signs of you becoming a new creature. You'd speak with other tongues. Those were signs. He even said righteousness would be a part of it. John did. He said this would be he that was born again would sin not. Couldn't sin. Say he couldn't sin. No, he said he was not a perpetual sinner. Something reeled him in. Something aggravated him even when he kept sinning, that he had to say, I can't do this. So that was a part of it. But really, John and Paul collaborated. And they came to one thing. Paul said this, he said, the Spirit Himself bears witness. And John said, this is how you know you're saved. By the witness. By the Spirit that He's given you. What Spirit? The born-again nature. That Spirit on the inside, it cries, Abba, Father. Now you don't walk around, and if you ever catch it, you say, could I catch it ever saying Abba, Abba? No. What He's saying, that word Abba is the most intimate word he could say. It's a daddy or papa or whatever you'd call your daddy in Spanish. It was the most intimate term that you could get across. And He said, your spirit has a continual connection. That it's always, there's always that bearing witness. There's a peace. When Jesus was tried of Satan, the first temptation, He said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus had just heard 40 days earlier. He knew who He was. Baptized of John, filled with the Holy Spirit. Heavens open and God says, His Father says, you are my beloved Son. He didn't say it for Him. He said it for those standing around. You're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Thank you, Father. But I had that witness all along. This goes out in the wilderness, the first thing He says, if you are who He says you are, then turn these stones into bread. Did you know Jesus didn't feel impressed or pressured by the fact that He had to do something in power to prove who He was? We're contending for a revival. But the fact of the matter is, if you can't believe yourself, at times out of a wet paper bag, if a cold beats you up, if a little devil, we tell people a big devil came after me, that's why I acted the way I did. We like to think he was a gunslinger, bad boy. We'd cry, weep, and mourn, and be totally embarrassed if we got to see these guys sometimes. Because they're the leftover residue of what the devil couldn't use someplace else. Their mental cases, they don't They're bumping into walls and they just found you looking silly and they thought they'd jump on you. You want me to be nice, don't you? Barbara says, okay, now straighten up, Pastor. I've been praying for you. Don't get sideways. So, but even when they beat you up, the thing of it is you don't have to do anything. Works did not create you. The Holy Spirit created you. And you were created unto good works. Means they'll follow you if you just keep bearing witness and you just keep fellowshipping with Him. In fact, He said this is the bottom line. All that other was fruits and follow up, and it should happen. You should be walking in. But He even gave a clause in John. He said, if you have been acting ugly and your heart condemns you, then He said, God's greater than your heart and knew that you were still His son or daughter. Meaning when you couldn't feel the witness, that didn't negate that you were still His. That's a pretty good deal. But it really always is there. So if you pressure it to the way, you take it to the extreme, to where that you say it's not even there anymore, I can't feel His peace. Well, here's the telltale sign. Whatever calls you to just say that's it. I quit. And then you found yourself again. Said, I'm going back. I can't quit. I've come too far. I quit. I'm not going back. Oh, yes, you are. Pout for a little while. But something that turns you around and says, I can't stop loving God. Now that's the far reaching. But you want to turn it in the other direction and nurture that thing and fertilize it and farm it and be good to it. That's the fellowship. You can build that thing up. You can work it out and feed it some heavy duty steroids in the spirit. It'll get to the place where it's like a bulldozer. It's not fighting to wonder if it's in fellowship with God anymore. It's just running over stuff. I mean, something jumps in its path that's supposed to stop it and it just consumes it. It consumes it. That's what revival's made out of. A bunch of people with enough character that the devil throws stuff up in front of them and says boo, and they didn't even know he was there. They just run right over him. And he tries to stop them with offenses and they won't get mad or stay mad at each other. They just, my God, they can't. I've never been so encouraged. And I tell you, this is the witness of revival. The witness of revival is the seed in itself. The peace. Because we were always taught that success was ever expanding. It was like something on the outside, bigger buildings and more people. That was success. So if you were doing something for God, then you'd see more of that. Oh, we're going to see more of that. We're going to get the foundation right first, though. This goes inward instead of outward. It builds inward. It goes to you first and says, can I build you up to a place where nothing can stop you? Thank God you're able to hang on by your fingernails and turn around and start back the other direction. But really, don't want to, when a tender plant's trying to turn around or you're having a rough time, You don't want to scold it and say, hey, you shouldn't be there. No, we've all felt those, but I'm telling you, there's a place, as far as you can go in that direction, there's a place in that direction where you're just scratching your head. And you wonder what the fuss was about. That's the way He wants you and I. That's a place He's provided in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's there? It's up to you and I to go for it. Thank you, Jesus. Give us a peace that passes all understanding. And a contentment. Now what could I give you, Pastor? What could I give you to make you feel a little bit? There's nothing. Well, what if I gave you a brand new home or a brand new pickup? Or it's not like I would turn it down or what. I can tell you this. You could not come up with a sack full of a million. Now, I'd kind of say, hey, man. But I can tell you, it wouldn't cause the degree of my joy nor my peace. There's not something that I'm waiting to take place on in the natural realm. Somebody to do. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were waiting for somebody to do something, somebody that you didn't have control over, to do something so you could start resting? Isn't it wonderful to know that your peace is a peace that's not predicated on anybody else's actions or something that they can come and give you or something that they can take away from you? Glory be to God. Now that'll make you independent in a good sense of the word. Thank you, Jesus. That'll give you the witness to stay in there and keep going. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reading some. Boy, I've been having some good times in the Spirit. And I wish I could take you in there. But that's all right. A lot of you are finding your own way in there. These days have been real good. Real good. Presence and worship. Hallelujah. Lift those hands. Would you worship you, Jesus? I exalt you. I bless you so much. You're so wonderful, Jesus. I love you and glorify you. There's none like you, Jesus. Go ahead and just tell Him. Just tell Him how much you love Him, appreciate Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was reading some of the prophecies that came from the prayer center in Tulsa today. Some of you get these letters, but this is just a real short, like a 2 pages, 3.5. I love when I know it's God speaking. He just said, read these. Read them. He's going to read them. And these are, I think probably Dave spoke most of these. I haven't asked and called, but I got this in the mail. How many of you get the letters from Tulsa? Some of you? And I hope you get our letters. And I hope, let me just encourage you, you know, if you get them, please, well, they're for your benefit. If you don't, then you need to see Kathy. But I can tell you that a lot of them are what you hear here. But they're said in different ways. And they're so, I'll tell you, there's sometimes there's dozens, maybe, of hours poured into one letter. And that's how valuable they are in the Spirit. So you can take those letters, and they have a lot of doctrine in them if you'll just read them. That's where Paul said over in Hebrews, now for the time you should be teachers, that you have need that someone teach you. You read those letters and read the Word yourself. You'll come to a place where you'll be so full of revelation knowledge, you'll just be volumes and volumes. Somebody come up and need something, that library will be full. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, please. You know, it's all for your benefit. I didn't write them for, well, I did for my benefit too, because it gives me, as I put them on paper, diagrams it more for myself as well. Hallelujah. Well, just listen. Just open up your spirit, because I know the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just worship You right now. As You're consuming us. Consuming our every hour and every waking thought. And we just love You, Jesus. Glorify You. Again, not that You needed to be reminded, but my Father, You are my God. There's none like You in all the earth. We worship You that all of our needs are met according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. I'll give You all the dates, but these start in February. Most of them just one paragraph. Be encouraged. For many need my encouragement, but do not know it until they turn loose of what they have and take what I have. Many fight in the natural what they consider to be my fights, but they would find out by fighting with what I've done that they will be accompanied by peace and fulfillment. I want that. I step out of myself into Him. This is worship. Worship will be a strong manifestation in these years to come. When I establish myself in You, there are many, many things I will do in establishing Your emotions through the fellowship You have with me. So become strong, because when revival is poured out, the rules of engagement change, meaning the enemy comes in many different ways that we're not used to. Be strong, for the enemy is in opposition, but this time, meaning in what God's going to get done in this revival, this time, He's not going to succeed. Aren't you glad that we're headed towards something? We are headed towards something. It's so wonderful. The resolve doesn't even feel like that it has to be apologetic, like you have to build it in somebody. They just know it. And I know it because I'm not building up myself. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by You. But I'm encouraged by empty seats, and that's crazy. I'm encouraged by the fact that I'm not looking for something to fulfill me. I feel so fulfilled. So if He's doing this inside of us, see, because that's not the norm. You need to have your head examined. If, you know, normally you build from the outside. You build, expand, and that shows success. The success that's confirming all this to me is the inward peace. Keep getting strong. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. In the separation and sanctification of yourself to me, know you not that there are levels of grace, I like this, that you can attain to? For sanctification can be made an easier process through my strength when you turn loose of those things that have a hold on you. Lord, I want that sanctification that comes through grace. Don't you know that when I come and work in your spirit, increase myself in you, I do so because it is you that must finally believe that you're free. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Many of you have been warring with things of the flesh, but I can take my grace and move you up closer to a place where you will say, it is done, and these things can no longer hold me in their power. Glory to God. You know, some of the things I've been set free from in my life, in the flesh, as I've grown into Him, I noticed it took Him, one of the greatest things He had to do is to convince me that I was free. He had to convince me that I was really free. And once I saw that I was free, then the fruit started coming on the tree. I'm taking some of those steps, saith the Lord, that will end up with my revival poured out in the land. Know you not that it is my desire to set free those who come spirit, soul, and body? Not only do I desire to heal their bodies, but I also desire to free them from all habits. But long before we get to that place, it had to be line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. And that's what He's doing right now. He's building us and taking us towards a revival. But the line on line, the precept on precept is those layers of peace, mortification, parts of you that He's pulling out because you're yielding. But every time He pulls out a part of the flesh, He lays another level, another line of peace. Hallelujah. That's a good trade-off. Gary Carpenter recently did a tape, and I remember him saying, you can't take a Outback Aborigines and take them and teach them aerodynamics, you know, from day one. He said, it's line on line, precept on precept. You got to teach them 2 + 2 = 4 before you can get them to that place. Now, revival is going to be so much easier than we think it is once we get to that place. But if He did not lay the line on line, precept on precept in us like He's doing, when we, you know, got there, the missing elements would be the part that Satan would use to crumble this thing. Glory to God. I say build. Sometimes I want it faster, but I want it strong. You know, if it's the last 5 years, well, I want it to be sooner. Well, we're having a good time between now and then. You know, have a good time. Now, don't stop and say, well, we can't, you know, we're waiting for revival to let our hair down. Let your hair down now. Relax. Enjoy the ride. Hallelujah. Because I don't know how long we're going to have to, you know, keep contending. In these anointings and the continual increase of them, such as the increase in the early church after they spent their time with me, saith the Lord, and then they entered into their apostleship. Did they not come from the cities round about and get set free from all manner of diseases and unclean spirits? That's Acts 5:16. Know you not that where the worldwide church is walking currently, that perversion is something that has been going on virtually unaltered. But you know the very moment I magnify myself in them with the rebirth and fill them, I can also absolutely set them free. Hallelujah. Now, perversion can really be... Now, let me tell you the absolute. And then you can transgress or kind of what's the umbrella of it. The epitome of it would be what caused the first world. And I can show you what caused the first world to fall. It was violence, and then it was perversion, where things got real crazy, and the preference for the opposite sex, unnatural, and it was so widespread, and there's been 2 requests come in for prayer lately, and it was on that line. And this one person that called in said that, you know, they were so surprised when they found out that this young person was admitting to this and having a problem with it. And I said this, look, the last spirit that comes just before Christ, that wants to take over and run its great revival, is the spirit of perversion. It's the one where people don't know who they are anymore. Their sexual preference. And then it can descend from there with a lot of different things. Let me tell you something. That thing's rampant out there. That's why we got to have a revival. Don't think that it's not. Don't think that it's no more than it used to be. It's magnifying itself at an unprecedented rate. But that's why He's wanting us to have a revival. And so these kids in men and women can be set free. And you know, under, because perversion goes inward and it's a thing of pleasure, somebody said, why can't they get, they can get set free. But it's harder to turn loose of something that you want. If you want something, it's harder to turn loose of it. What God is promising us here is the fact of the matter is that there's going to be a strong enough revival that that's going to be a one time and that's it. They're done. You don't have to take them through counseling. Boy, wouldn't that be a long, we're going to see millions saved. That'd be a lot of counseling to be done. Jesus. Just let the Holy Spirit fall on them and they just walk out and say, I'm free. I'm free. I don't even have a desire anymore like that. Glory to God. Jesus. Now if He'd do that in the revival, how much more will He touch you in your private life about things that may be way, way away from that kind of deal, but nevertheless things that you don't like? How much more will He, if you worship Him, He'll come and He'll just remove them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And those who know the truth will come to my anointings because they will see that the burnt over fields were not what is the truth. And my anointings, He's talking about what religion, the burnt over fields being when religion gets done with a church, people sometimes are full of hopelessness, like there's no way to ever be set free. But in this revival, people are going to see. They're going to see that what they thought was hopeless is there's more than enough hope. It will give them new hope that they can be free, and it will start causing them to want what I am giving them instead of what they have had those years in the past. Much hangs in the balance, so stand strong and go forward. I mean, you that pave the pathway, know you not, it is much easier to walk down a path that has been cleared than one that has not. And many will follow. But who can earn what I give? Why do you come before me to spend those times that I may operate in my presence? This is a question. Is it to invoke me, or is it because you love me, saith the Lord? For he who loves me will finish his course, and I will give you everything along the way. Hallelujah. I like the first part of this when he says, a path cleared is much easier to follow than one that's being, you know. So this is, you know, we're pathfinders right now. All our Friday nights, all our, you know, Wednesdays, all of you that are sticking with the vision, and believing and praying in tongues and fasting and worshiping God and doing all the things. So you get people, one day people will come behind us. See, the book of Acts, and it wasn't just the book of Acts, because I've read enough, that era continued for about 300 years. All those wonderful signs and wonders, 300 to 400 years. It took a long descending order for Satan to get miracles out of the church. And for maybe the first couple of hundred years, what we're contending for now, the blind see, the lame walk, we're having to go back and redig that up. But what if your little kitties grew up underneath the fact that there was, every time you prayed, somebody got healed? It would be like, duh, you know, this is supposed to take place. Now we're just gritting our teeth and saying, oh, I believe it's done, I believe it's done. To them, it was a done deal because they were living under that shadow. They were living under that umbrella. Now we're having to go back and contend for it. Once it's a breakthrough, then we've broken the path, and everybody coming behind us are looking at us like, we'll sit and we'll say, yeah, and they'll say, no kidding. You mean to tell me there was a day and hour where people come in and left the same the way they were? You know, they were sick when they came in. And, yeah, honey, but we were fighting for it. That's why you're, you know, and I'm standing on men's shoulders tonight. We're standing on people's shoulders. There was a day and hour at the turn of the century, people just in trepidation, just stand there, oh God, can we be filled with the Spirit? Now, now millions have been filled. The Catholics have been filled, you know, by the millions, and people don't even think. I mean, that's not that manifestation of speaking in tongues is old, and he knows what I'm saying. That's old hat. Believing for that's not even a question anymore. There's billions of people all across. The fastest growing movement on planet Earth right now is, you know, my Jewish neighbor come across. He goes, I was listening. He goes, the evangelicals, you know, they're and then specifically. The charismatic evangelicals, the tongue talkers, is the fastest growing of all the different, you know, denominations. So it's not real hard for people to believe anymore that, you know, you can speak in tongues and all that. But there was a day and hour people didn't hardly believe that. So we're standing on their shoulders. One day, miracles. But the greatest miracle of all is the souls being saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But he says here, he says, I like this part. He says, why do you come before me? Spend those times that you may operate in my presence. He asked this question, is it to invoke me or, you know, like to try to get me to do something? Or is it because you love me? You know, I'll tell you the truth. As much as I have prayed in the last 10 years, every once in a while, I got to reel it in. Not my prayer time, but I take toll of myself. I can feel myself. When it gets a little weighty, is when, how can I explain this? It's not that you shouldn't kind of, you're monitoring yourself should be mainly through the parent of the Spirit. And the motivation being an acceleration into His love. And if you can approach Him daily because you want to fellowship with Him, and He's the one that's empowering, the inertia is this, He's the one that empowers you to come back the next day and keep coming because you love Him and He empowers you. Every once in a while, it'll get a little stiff, and I'll recognize that I'm kind of trying to keep track of, I mean, did I put in as many hours last week as I did? And I don't even think like that. But every once in a while, my flesh will come up, and I'll notice. I wonder why it's getting a little hard. You know, it's getting a little hard. I can feel when things get a little hard in the spirit. And I'm not saying it slacks me up to go by, but I'm saying when I just lean on His grace and I go back every day because of the joy, and He's saying the same thing that I'm trying to say, is the fact of the matter, if you fall into that place where you just fall so head over heels in love with Him, even if you don't keep track of the hours, you'll be spending plenty of time. You'll be spending plenty of time, and you'll get away from a clocked in and a clocked out and a clocked in and a clocked out. Now, every once in a while, just for fun, I'll go back in my mind and figure out how many hours a week. And if I'll just follow that grace and that love, I'm putting in everything He wants. And I can feel Him at the end of the day. No, I can feel Him giving me the thumbs up and say, you know, it's okay. You know, you've done your deal. You're not going to get it all at once. But the motivation He wants is you going in there. But it's like Dave always said, if you don't have that habit yet, it's all right to be legalistic till you fall back into grace. Hallelujah. So somebody said, well, I'm just going to, if you haven't fallen head over heels and put yourself under a little legalism, and then He'll slack you back off. He'll take you the whole circle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? I hope. Nobody can pick you up like I can pick you up. For I have many levels of my grace. Those who only accept my salvation, you know, just that's it, just the salvation message, they limit me in all other areas. But don't you know that he who will know the truth, it'll make him free? And it will make him free. As you find out about each new place in me, then you will need to conquer the land, for it is yours for your taking. Am I not your strength? I am the one who can walk you out of every realm of flesh into the Spirit. Hallelujah. I tell you, He's a lot better to you than you are to yourself if you can get into grace. And the devil and your flesh will make something of him that he's not. The flesh will make him a hard taskmaster. He's really, really good to us. He wants to infuse you with a lot of grace. Hallelujah. This is just a comment. He says, we're close to something, church. I don't know what I hear. It's almost like pleading. It's almost like he would get on his knees in front of you. And he did to wash the betrayal. He literally bowed and got on his knees. What he would not do for the devil. The devil wanted him to bow down and worship him. And what he would not do for the devil, he did in front of the traitor Judas when he bowed to wash the betrayal off his feet. Hallelujah. He says, now listen, he says, will you be the ones? Oh man, that tears me apart when I start thinking about that. Will you be the ones that will be meek enough, teachable enough to continue bowing and letting the Holy Spirit teach you? If I can find those who are meek enough through my gospel, we can deliver this earth. We can inherit the earth for the kingdom. Hallelujah. I believe he's fine enough authority. And if he's asking us, will we be the ones by his grace? We say yes. When he says we're close to something, Ralph and I were talking Friday night after this. You know, these Friday nights, and Gay gets up here, or Marcia gets up here, and whoever, you know, there's something that's been added that's beyond words. So, you know, you say that, and it doesn't bring forth the fulfilling as in the reality of it like it really is. There is some kind of witness, and I really believe that worship has been a tremendous catalyst to it, that our worship is caused us to come to a place of intimacy, that our words are not just mere words. David, you know, I love David. That's one of, you know, I'm so glad Homer loves, that's one of his favorite, probably his favorite character. And he's pulled so many good revelations out of those books. But when he would say, I say of the Lord, this is basically my confession. And he got a lot done because he had an intimacy with God. You can say something with your mouth and it does nothing unless there's an umph. The umph is fellowship. It's relationship. It's fellowship. And we are getting so close. It feels close. It feels like that he's coming. We sing that song. I mean, he's coming, not coming to get us to take us home, but he's coming for an outpouring. Hallelujah. And so many things, you know, it doesn't make sense to me in the natural. And I have to apologize to you, but not really, facetiously. I've led some of you down but I say this to say, so many of you are like us. And I'm not epitomizing Candy and I. I'm just telling you, you know, some of our conversations, because I think you'll identify with it, not to put us up here. But we don't have these conversations in the back of our minds, so I'll have sermon material. But it's like we're riding down the road and, you know, enjoying each other's company. Monday night we went down to the beach and we were talking about things and it's just so hard. And this is unnatural. It's so hard to get a handle on wanting stuff. And you know, and it's not like that You know, sometimes you guys have heard me say, well, I don't have a house or this, that, and the other. I don't say that for you to feel. Literally, I get paid enough that I could, and I got good credit. I could go get a house, and I could get a lot of other stuff. And I've kept my bills down to where I have hardly anything. So, but, you know, we've talked about Candy. We've got 2 acres, and we've talked about the log cabin one day. And Candy says, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll have visitors come in from out of town, and she'll say, look, these log cabins, one day I'm going to have one of these. And people say, well, do you know what you need to do? You need to build you a kind of a showcase. And those things make sense and start confessing over a daily. But you know what? Now, I might be messed up. I can't even find the place in me that just wants to spend the time daily confessing over those things to have them. It's just like revival is so... Have y'all messed me up, or have I messed y'all up, or what's the matter here? Now, it's not wrong, and I got to say, it's not wrong for... I mean, if some of y'all might be building a house right now, it's not wrong. Or doing this or that or the other. But I'm telling you this, you know what Paul said in Romans 7? He said, you know, there was a debate over whether you should get married or not get married. He was not talking about abstaining from marriage, but he said that they wrote to him, and he said under the present condition there was such a horrible persecution against the church, and people were being stoned and killed, and the Romans were just obliterating the church, and the Jews were, and then I think it was a crossover both at that time. Tremendous persecution. And Paul was saying for the present hour, you know, for the present need, he said, know this, time is short. And live like, whether you have or have not, live. He said, those who buy, live like you buy not. Those who possess, live like you possess not. In other words, he said, those who rejoice, no, he said, those who weep, live as if you weep not. Because time is, meaning this, there's a heavenly focus. And even if you're going through something rough, don't worry about it. This whole thing's coming to an end anyhow. The best you can do is to live your life. So he says, if you're weeping, live your life like you're weeping not, because it's all going to be over soon anyway. And he says, if you're rejoicing, live your life like you're rejoicing not. Meaning, if you got something to say, look what I got, live like you don't have it. I mean, live like that's not your joy. Amen. And he says, if you possess, live like you possess not. If you buy, live like you buy not. He says, don't abuse the things of this. So, I've talked about this with several. I mean, and God only knows it. You know, we may have that one day, and it'd be nice. I think the only thing Candy has a desire of right now is she watches those garden shows on Saturday mornings, and she always say, I want to turn the backyard into some kind of beautiful. That's probably the only thing. But, and I haven't drilled her either. It's like a lot of you other women and men that are falling in love with the aspirations of God. And please, don't misconstrue this. If next week God says, you know, go buy or go build, or do that and enjoy it too. And enjoy it too. But it's like there's nothing in this life that's holding something. Isn't that amazing? That's the peace of God. Because the flesh, Proverbs says the horse leech, he called it. The horse leech. He says the horse leech has 2 daughters. And they cry one thing. Give me, give me, give me. More, more, more. Flesh, flesh, flesh. You know, you never satisfy the flesh. You never. I was working out someplace today and wasn't really trying to pay much attention to it. Just, in fact, I had my iPod, but I had to take them off for a second. And they had a radio on, and they said that I just heard the part where they said Brad Pitt. You know who Brad Pitt is? Yeah. Okay, he's supposed to be one of the most, you know, believe it or not, he's supposed to be better looking than Homer. You know, I know that's hard to believe. No way. And he's married to Angeline. Well, they're together or something. Okay. But anyway, He said the guy said that the two of them, they said recently, they said whether they're married or not, who knows, but they're together. And he said that they're saying, see, they're supposed to be the epitome of, you know, they're trying to get where you and I are at, Ralph. You know. But they said, we don't find each other physically invigorating or attractive anymore. You can have everything in the world and you can get more and more and more. Get you another husband, get you another wife, get you another this, and you still never get satisfied. Oh, if I had that person, I'd be, no, unless you get him. And then if you go all the way into him, then you get kind of, you know, if I'm weird, don't wake me up because I'm enjoying this. Please. This feels so good. I sleep good. I wake up good. I enjoy the simple things of life. I do. And it just feels, there's nothing gnawing on me like if I had that fill that void. That's a good place to be. I don't know how I'll ever get that house. It'll be almost like God just make somebody build it for me or something, because it don't matter. I want to see, what's that? They don't want to live in. So it just, but what I'm saying is it feels so good. And I don't want to put nobody under a burden, because don't think like, that's not the emphasis here. The emphasis is where you're being filled at, fed at. It doesn't matter if you go get, you know, a new car or a new house, or, but he said live like you don't. And in other words, that doesn't have the attachment to it. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm glad with the woman I got. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, this is good stuff, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Just a little more. He says, I hear Him saying, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. I have placed your face on the palm of my hand. I am He that beget you. How could I forget you? Is my arm shortened that I cannot save? Have my eyes got dim that I cannot see? Look up, look up, look up where your help really comes from. Your mind, says the Lord. Your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, he's just saying stop there. Amen. We're having a good time in His presence. Just lift those hands and magnify. Exalt you, Jesus. I give you all the praise. I love you, Jesus. Most of you understand the walk enough to know. Just keep doing the things. You'll find those levels of freedom. They'll come back. The good thing about this is you don't have to have anybody initiate it for you. I like prayer lines. They're wonderful. They can give you a shot. Kind of an espresso sometimes in the spirit. But what we're teaching here, what he's teaching here, is self-induced. That's the greater part. Just wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, I'm wanting you more than I want my self-indulgences. So what do I do about that? Do I just tell you it? No. Then you start doing the things. So we don't have to go through them extensively. But just name them by name. Praying in tongues. It's so wonderful. He gave you a smorgasbord that you get to pick and choose. Oh, it's just best if you employ all of them. They'll put you on a fast track. The first one you need extremely to pray you out of anything is praying in tongues. I like it because you can be mad, dishonest, ugly, got some naughty in you. But if you want to change, you can pray yourself out of it. And it's that's worth $1 billion. Worship. Okay, I'm going to just spend 15 minutes this morning worshiping. If you don't feel good about it, if you keep doing it though, one day He'll drop on you. And the tears will come, and the world calls it a catharsis. It's a cleansing. It feels like you got born again. Hallelujah. The Word. You don't have to study it. Just meditate it. I'm a firm believer. There's only one way to get to know the Word. It's meditation. The way that we've explained it to you. The way the Holy Spirit's explained it to you. Meditation. It's so wonderful. The seed for every book is in itself. Now, I like schools and I like this, that, and the other. And a lot of times I'll clarify something by saying the Greek says it this way. But did you know that God would be unjust and it would be wrong to equip you or give you something that you needed to have something else to go get to clarify what you're reading? The seed is always in itself. Every book carries its full explanation in that book. Every book. If you'll read it enough. In fact, even other books will help clarify, but every book is an individual seed in itself. If not, then God's unjust. Because He would send those one books to a church and He didn't say, now if you don't understand this, go get my commentary or go get Adam Clark's commentary on it or this, that, and the other. Every book is a seed in itself. And you don't need another commentary. You don't need a teacher, a Bible. I mean, you don't need an education. You just need to meditate it and meditate it and meditate it until it pops open to you. Don't put a square peg in a round hole. Don't make it say something you want it to say. So, where am I at? Confession. Confession of the Word. We'll leave that one down here. Fasting. It's a good one. It's a good one. It's brought me through some things that I'm telling you. In fact, my God, it just gave me some levels of freedom this past one that I'm having a revival in myself. Hallelujah. And, you know what's really good? It's like, and we teach on fasting. We're going to teach it again. But the fact of the matter is that it's there. And, I'll go back to another one here before long. It's not getting all the, at this point in time, thank God it's not getting, the lust for adultery out of me or the want to steal or this, that, and the other. Hopefully those things went a long time ago, But if I needed those now, then thank God they'd be there for me. They'd be there for me. But, not every fast is supposed to be you trying to keep you from killing somebody or committing murder, You should be progressively going somewhere with it, But the levels of freedom and the thing I like about it, my God, is it's money in the bank. I know this. If the enemy comes so hard that you can't even, you're cross-eyed and you don't even know your name, there's one of those things standing out there in the wing that there's no excuse for you not to get free. Because if you want it and you go into that and you begin to pray in tongues and hold to that fasting, my God, the execution of that positional truth one day will become a reality. You will. You're already free. I like this stuff because even if you don't do it, there's still no excuse. It's there. It's there. And isn't it amazing He gave us so much? But the first one really is, the second work of grace is speaking in tongues. It's praying in the Spirit. It's And I like that one because it's like an anvil. You can't mess it up. You can't mess it up. So aren't you glad to be on a path? It's a path that we know we're not worshiping any of these things. But you get up tomorrow and you say, I can't find my way. Where's the preacher at? But listen, the simple gift. And if you just don't do any of those others and you don't know and you don't even read the Word of God, just ride down the road and stay mad or confused, offended, lustful, and keep praying in tongues. One day it'll lift off of you. Isn't that amazing? It'll come off of you. I'm just so thankful there's a way of freedom. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Jimmy Miller's coming. Heaven help us. He's coming the 22nd April, this month, just a couple of weeks. Is Debbie coming? Yes, yeah, she's coming. Just lift those hands. We worship you. We rejoice in you, Jesus, because our freedom is final. It is not even a hope, so it is a final done deal. And if whatever part of us doesn't feel free tonight, you've made a provision for that. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So Lord, I bless these as they bless you, and I pray that God, the journey into you will be one that even in their weakness, if there are weaknesses, that we'll choose just to methodically follow you. And because of it, the reward I know will be great. Let that choice be made tonight, in the morning, on the way to work, just to say, God, I choose you. I choose that path to go into the fulfillment of the Lord. And we'll be forever grateful, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.